As we prepare to enter into this time of worship, a few music notes, a reminder that the words to the hymns that you will hear on the chimes and for the hymn following the sermon, those words may be found on our Facebook page and on our website. The music in today's worship service features a recording of the chancel choir and friends singing an Alleluia Round by William Boyce. The choir had been preparing this piece for the spring concert that would have been on April 26th. The postlude is a little carillon by turn-of-the-century French composer Josephine Boulez.
Thank you. As we begin our time of worship today, I want to remind you, whenever we gather together, near or far apart, that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire in our time of worship today to meet you where you are and to share God's love, God's peace, God's comfort, and God's good news with you. So I want to invite you to take a deep and slow breath. Invite God's Spirit of peace to fill you up as you inhale. Exhale and set aside all the worries and anxieties of the day. And join me as we reflect on today's theme. Our theme today, witness of love, had me thinking about what the word witness really means. On one hand, a witness can be someone who sees or experiences an event or action, an onlooker, an observer, a spectator. And on the other hand, a witness can be themselves evidence or proof, an indication or testimony. It seems to me that when it comes to God's love, we ought to be both. You see, part of our call as people of faith is to be witnesses of, on the lookout for evidence of God's love and faithfulness in the world around us, to keep our eyes open, to be careful observers, to see God's love in our midst. While being a person of faith is not a spectator sport, slowing down and looking around for all the little God moments in our lives can provide us with some much-needed perspective. We are also called to be witnesses too. To, with our lives and our words and actions, be the evidence of God's love and faithfulness in the world around us, a living, breathing testimony to God's goodness. Bearing both of these ways, we might be witnesses of and witnesses to, in mind, we gather now in a spirit of worship, to be refreshed and renewed, to be challenged and changed, in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join me in saying our prayer of confession out loud together if you've got the words in front of you, or simply by listening and praying along. Let us pray. Loving God, we have one simple question for you, one that many throughout Scripture have asked. How long? How long until things are back to how they were? How long until we no longer live with fear and anxiety about tomorrow? How long until we are once again comfortable and settled? We confess that these are the thoughts and prayers that fill our minds and hearts these days, not because we don't have faith, but because we are weary. Reassure us, God, that rather than putting all of our energy into getting to the other side of these challenging days, something over which we have very little control, we'd do best to focus on looking for and being living witnesses of your love in the midst of them. When we are tempted to ask, how long, may we instead take a moment to give thanks for just how long you have been with us and will be with us, always and forever. Amen. Friends, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness of God is indeed always and forever. It is broad and wide and longer than even our longest days. May God's love fill our hearts and fill the space between us this day and every day. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the Hebrew Scriptures, the Book of Psalms, Psalm 66, a psalm identified as a psalm of praise for God's goodness to the people of Israel. The Israelites viewed God as one who tested them, but also as a God whose steadfast love never dies. Beginning at verse 8, "Bless our God, O peoples, Let the sound of his praise be heard. Who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a spacious place. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, those that my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt fatlings with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for me. I cried aloud to him, and he was extolled with my tongue. All I had cherished, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. God has given heed to the words of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Our gospel lesson today comes from John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, where we pick up where we left off last Sunday, with verse 15 of chapter 14 and God's promise to us of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. And because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." As always, we pray for wisdom beyond our own to understand these words from Scripture. May they come alive in our lives this day. Amen. If we were together in church right now, at this time, I'd be inviting the children to join me in the chancel so that I could show them what I have in my little brown basket. Even though we are not together in St. John's Sanctuary, we are together in spirit. And I know you have pretty good imaginations, so picture the children gathered round. And if you are one of the children, picture yourself sitting on the floor around me as I take off the lid of my basket and show you what I have inside. It's a small comforter, which is like a blanket. A little quilt. Why do I have a comforter in my blanket when it's warm outside? Well, hold on just a minute and I'll tell you. In the lesson I just read from the Bible, Jesus is talking to his very closest followers. These followers are called disciples. Jesus was trying to prepare them for when he would no longer be with them. He wanted them to know that there would always be someone to remind them he was near, and this someone we call the Holy Spirit. Now here's the tricky part. We can't see the Holy Spirit, but we can feel the Holy Spirit's presence. What does it feel like? Well, here's where Jesus helps us by explaining that the Holy Spirit is our advocate. And that's really just a fancy word for helper. Maybe you've heard the words of Mr. Rogers, of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, who encouraged us to always look for the helpers, when bad things happen, or when we feel scared. Whenever we feel afraid, or alone, or confused, or worried, we can reach out to God's helper, the Holy Spirit, by praying, by asking God to take our hand, to hold us close, to wrap loving arms around us. Now here's where my comforter comes into the picture. Another name for God's Spirit is comforter. Because, well, that's what God's Spirit does. The Spirit comforts us. Now that doesn't mean the Spirit makes our problems magically disappear or fixes everything in our lives that is broken. But what it does mean is that God's Spirit wraps around us like a soft, warm, familiar blanket or comforter, calming us when we're shaken, protecting us, reassuring us. And what I've discovered is that if I sit quietly and listen carefully to what I'm feeling deep inside after I pray for God to help me, I feel comforted. In much the same way we feel when we are surrounded by our favorite blanket. So I have a job for you today. After worship, not now, because I want you to stay tuned and listen for the rest of our worship service, but after we're done, I'm going to encourage you to go and find your favorite blanket or comforter. And when you identify it, when you get it, sit with it for a little while. Maybe even wrap it around yourself. And as you do, thank God for the gift of the Comforter, our Helper, God's Holy Spirit, an especially important gift right now, don't you think? Let's pray together, and we'll end by praying together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples and us. Let's pray. Loving God, how good it is to know that you left a comforter for us, not just a blanket or a quilt, but someone who would always be within reach even though we can't see that comforter. May we remember to ask for the comforter's help. May we remember how close that comforter is to us, and may that help us when we feel scared and afraid, especially now. All of these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, remembering that he taught his disciples and us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.